Hey, everybody. I finally got the podcast back up and running. I hope you enjoy this episode of the show. I had a lot of fun doing it. I felt like I had more energy. I felt like I was more excited, and I hope that makes a better podcast listening experience for you at home. I did want to warn you because we didn't actually warn people when we recorded it, but we spoiled a ton of movies. We spoil the second G.I. Joe movie that came out, and we spoil Big Hero 6, the Disney movie that just got released to theaters. So around the 50-minute mark, if you don't want to be spoiled on the Big Hero 6, I definitely recommend around 56 minutes that you shut this thing off. Because I really don't want to spoil the movie. It's such a great movie. It does not deserve to be spoiled. I don't remember where G.I. Joe 2 is, so just make it easier on yourself. Go watch Big Hero 6, then come back and listen to this podcast. So you've been warned, and I will talk to you on the podcast here in a minute. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to the 16-Bit Catholic. Everybody, welcome back to the 16. Why are you apologizing?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm all excited, I guess.
It's not like this intro is like some magical, you know.
It is.
It's not, you know, Muhammad didn't write down golden plates from Moroni or, you know, get a burning bush. I just mixed all the world religions into one.
You did. You did. And you brought multiple mountains to Muhammad. And my phone just booked. So this is a total, just my phone was not on vibrate. It's 99% of time always on vibrate. And it was not on vibrate. So I'm sorry about that. So go ahead.
Dude, ISIS is going to murder us. And also, why the generic ringtone, man? I expected better of you. You have a funny voicemail, so
I do. Well, that was not a ringtone. That was actually an email coming in, and that is the Legend of Zelda when you find the secret.
I didn't hear that it was Zelda. I take back the negative things that I said. I thought it was just a little do or something.
No. So I have a couple different sounds for, like, I have a transforming for certain text messages, or the one up for Mario when I get a text message as well.
What do I have? Do I have a special ringtone, or am I lumped in with the masses?
I think you're Mario 1-Up. Awesome. Only a couple people have special ones. I have one for my family, just in case, so that if I'm away from the phone and I hear it. But,
I have the Neo Geo ringtone, the little startup jingle for the Neo Geo, which one of your childhood friends had a Neo Geo machine.
Yes, he certainly did.
I'm still jealous of that, by the way. So
I am too.
Hey, this is the 16-Bit Catholic Podcast. I'm Dustin Faber, and this is James Ryan, and we're back. We're not dead, but other people have died. It's very sad, very tragic. I'm glad you're not dead, though.
I hope no people in IRL, in real life, for the kids who don't follow the internet jingo.
The information superhighway,
Information superhighway.
Does anybody use that word anymore? I don't think anybody does.
I would like to use it. I would like to continue to use that. I even go on the carpool lane of the internet superhighway.
I used that phrase at work, and I think nobody knew what I was talking about. Also, I work in a newsroom, and I used a paperboy reference, and nobody got it. And that broke my heart, man.
You should then. Obviously, you shouldn't be using a Newsies reference as well.
I figured everybody knew Paperboy. I said that. I was like, if their readers don't like it, they'll repaint their houses, and we'll have to fight through an obstacle course. And everybody's just like, what? I'm like, it's Paperboy. Come on, you guys. Paperboy is great. Did you play Paperboy in the arcade?
I loved Paperboy. It had little BMX handles as the controller. Yes.
I feel sad for kids who don't. I mean, because you can't get that on like an iPad or even a computer or console. So. I mean, nobody would sell those kind of.
The song is playing in my head right now.
I need to add that sound effect here. We're going to do that, right?
That's a great, great game. It's one of my. So I used to play it all the time in the arcades. I played it once or twice at a buddy's house on the NES, but when I got the old school Game Boy, Paperboy was one of the first like three or four games that I acquired on the Game Boy, and I played that like crazy. Never made it to the end of the week, however.
I don't think anybody has. How'd that play on the Game Boy? That seems like a very difficult game to play on the Game Boy.
Perfect translation really? To the Game Boy. Yes. It was awesome.
I would think it would be really hard to see the mailboxes that you got to hit, unless they like kind of altered the game a little bit.
Well, I don't know if they altered the game. They may have altered it, but I do have superhuman eyesight.
I forgot about that. So you blow my mind and go, wow, that's – I never thought like the arcade games would work that well on the Game Boy. But, I guess I'm wrong. I don't know. But
it was a fantastic time to play Game Boy and play Paperboy.
I'm going to track that down. Paperboy is hard, though. Man, that game is harder than most people remember it being. Because
yes.
I never got to the end of the week. I could get to Wednesday, and that was it.
I think I got – the highest I got maybe was like a Thursday. I definitely got a Wednesday on numerous times. But I would say at least I got up to a Thursday, maybe a Friday. But I'm going to say be generous and say Thursday.
And I played it on the Sega Genesis, and I thought it was harder on the Genesis than the regular Nintendo. I don't know. Maybe it was the controller not – the D-pad on the Genesis not being as good as the NES and being harder to control. But on the Genesis, I never got past Tuesday. And that town is – man, that must be the most boring town in the world if they're going to put that their Paperboy quit on the front page of the newspaper.
Paperboy quits. It's the most boring and the most dangerous town, I believe, in America.
It is, because right under that story, there's a picture of some guys like breaking into a house. It's like you've got that live on camera and you're leading the page with the Paperboy quitting. Like,
exactly.
I need
to... And you had runaway lawnmowers. You had crazy ladies chasing after you. You had dogs. Yeah. The dog was always the one that got me the most, because I was always trying to do the slowdown and get the paper right into the mailbox, and then some dog would run out after me. There were times, obviously, when you thought – because you got to ride a little faster to get away from the dog, and I slowed down, and the dog that was chasing me, boom, caught up with me.
Yeah, and also there's an intersection. The intersection, when you get to the end of the houses, there's no stop sign, and those cars are going a lot faster than 25 miles an hour in a residential zone, man.
Yes, like, they look like funny cars. They are super fast, supercharged.
That is an epidemic.
Yeah.
But when you were a kid, didn't you want an obstacle course at the end of your neighborhood? I always thought that would be cool.
I did. I wanted an obstacle course at the end of my day.
And your friends and family are sitting there clapping and cheering for you in the bleachers. I'm just trying to put that game into like real life terms. It's like, what would you have had to do if you were a kid for your mom and your sister and your dad and everybody? Like, is your sister Haley really going to sit at the end of some bleachers waiting for you to deliver papers and get through an obstacle course? No, absolutely not.
But now I've countered that because you just said that. Have you ever seen the video of the real life paperboy?
Yes, and that's hilarious. Yes,
one of the greatest. they got a break dancer in the middle of the street.
Oh, man, I need to go back and watch that sometime. That's good stuff. But Paperboy on the Game Boy, that works. I never would have thought that. So,
surprised.
The more you know, or what do they say at the end of G.I. Joe? Knowing is half the battle.
Knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe. Yeah. Well, I died plenty of times in Paperboy. That was a cherished childhood memory. Another cherished childhood memory died this week in the newest copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles by IDW. Yeah, that's the people who make it. It's IDW number 4. I think it's issue number 44, I think is what it is. But the IDW
now, before you say it, I'm gonna make a guess. So it is one of the turtles, correct?
Yes. I was just gonna say about the comic book series that it goes back to the original roots of the turtles. They're not, like a silly goofy eating pizza, or whatever. They're, these hardcore, ninjas, awesome dudes that can, kick a lot of butt and everything like that. But anybody who thinks that the cartoon Ninja Turtles is like the way the Ninja Turtles is, that's the equivalent to somebody thinking that the 1960s Batman is like the definitive Batman. it's not the same,
Cowabunga, dude.
That happened. So it is issue number 44, and it's a really cool cover. It's got Shredder on the cover. He's like jumping into this robot or whatever. It's really cool looking. I need to start reading more Ninja Turtles. But what's your guess on to what happened in this?
All right. I'm going to think that of the turtles, a high percentage is that who gets killed would be, I'm going to say Leonardo, or Michelangelo. I don't think they're going to touch Donatello or Raphael.
Dude. I don't know how to break this to you, but Donatello is dead.
Oh, no. Wow.
He's dead, man. Like, he's not, like, I know that comic book deaths. Okay, all right. Comic books have this, if you don't read comic books, they got this reputation that people who die in comic books don't stay dead, with the exception of people who are part of origin stories, who make the characters who they are, or, you know, something out of left field, like Jean Grey in X-Men. She's been dead for years. You know, Peter Parker's parents, they've been dead. Bruce Wayne's parents, they've always been dead because those deaths are integral to the origin story. But when superheroes and stuff die, it's it hardly ever sticks. So I don't know if this one's going to stick, but I'm going to catch you up to what happens here. And I'm reading this from the Kotaku website. The Turtles left Donatello behind at their base to do, like, you know, tech support. They were going to stop Krang from terraforming the world with an alien device. Now, Bebop and Rocksteady, they figure out where the base is, and they carry out this assault. Bebop and Rocksteady, by the way, in this, they are not, they're not these boneheaded imbeciles like, that you see. They're dumb, but the comic books really emphasize their brute strength and just how dangerous they are as characters. So Donatello puts up this huge fight, and Rocksteady hits Donatello so hard that it shatters his shell wide open. And the panel that I'm looking at on the comic book is Bebop tells Rocksteady, "Whoa, you split him in half, man." And Rocksteady, he's holding this, he's holding like this hammer, you know, like Triple H would have, you know, the sledgehammer or whatever. And it's got blood all over it. And he says, "Yeah, did you expect it to look like that under there? Gross." Ooh. And so they walk away, and there's the Metal Turtle, Metalhead or whatever.
Yes, Metalhead, I remember him.
Yeah, he's laying down. He's like, "No." And then it just shows Donatello's hand. They don't actually show it's the death or whatever. It's just like a shadow, a silhouette, like on the wall or whatever. So you don't you don't see anything gruesome. Yeah, if you just look it up, I'm sure you could find it online. And then there's a picture of a very sad picture of Splinter and the Turtles and some of their pals all standing around while Splinter's holding Donatello's, he's cradling Donatello's head in his lap. And it just says, "My poor brave son." And there's like blood all over Donatello's shell. You don't actually see any of the guts and stuff inside of it. But Donatello's dead, man. Like, I don't know how you come back from your shell being shattered open, because that's where turtles keep all of their all like their vital organs and everything. Like, that's where their heart and everything is.
You got shell shocked, man.
Yeah, but Raphael's got this crazed, angry look on his face. Dude, I would not be surprised in issue 45 if we are talking about the deaths of Bebop and Rocksteady, because Raphael looks pretty ticked off. Like, and he gets mad. Like, he's the one who always, like, has a short temper. So the fact that one of his brother got killed, man, I don't want to be Bebop and Rocksteady in issue 45.
That's so IDW, they're the ones that do the, like, the Transformers episode issues and the G.I. Joe stuff as well.
Yeah, they were doing Doctor Who as well for the longest time, but that got moved over to somebody else. But yeah, they're the ones who take all, like, the licensed stuff and make, like, pretty good comics out of it.
Whoa. I'm shocked. I am, you know, like you
shell
said.
Shocked, as you,
shell shocked,
say.
Even. It seems that, you know, comic deaths are all the rage right now, as, you know, Marvel has just killed Wolverine. They're talking about killing Deadpool very soon in the next few months.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's funny because both those guys have crazy, you know, regenerative powers and stuff like that. But, you know, to kill a character, it seems like it's a cheap way to kind of garnish, you know, viewers to buy their episode, you know, their issues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because more often than not, they're going to bring a character back after a while.
Yeah, but I mean, kudos to IDW for you know, for actually taking the guts to kill like a main character, even if it's short lived, to actually go out and say we're going to kill one of the Ninja Turtles, not, you know, Splinter, Casey, or April, or, you know, anybody like that, but an actual turtle itself dying.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy.
Oh, man, but the thing that somebody pointed out, I wish I would have thought of it myself, but somebody pointed out in the comments that. That it wasn't Donatello's brain that got smashed in. It was his body. And, you know, they got Metal Turtle sitting right over there. So maybe they could transfer his brain over into the cyborg Metal Turtle. Or they could put his brain somewhere else.
That could be done.
You know, I mean, if you're going to have to transport somebody's brain into a cyborg, wouldn't you want the smartest turtle? I mean, Michelangelo in a cyborg body is probably not going to do you a lot of good.
That's, you know, Donatello does machines, and I'm sure, you know, that is an easy way out. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe you could get something from, you know, they steal a replicator from Dimension X and they, you know, all of a sudden make a new body or something like that. But that's still pretty crazy. I'm still a little shocked that they would do something like that.
The other comment somebody made, and I wish I would have thought of this, they said, if Don dies, you have to reset your NES. It's the only way you could beat the original Ninja Turtle game on the NES. But, which is true. That game was, have you played that game recently?
That with the first one, right?
Yeah, the crappy
one. Not the arcade one. Yeah, no. Even though I have the emulator and I have played a few old school games, but I have not put that one in yet because I remember how hard that is.
It's a weird thing where it's the worst of the like the NES bunch, but it's oddly the most playable. Like, it's the one that holds up the best because the beat-em-ups were, like, the Ninja Turtle 2 game for the Nintendo, like, you can play the arcade version easily if you've got an emulator or, you know, you can download it. I think Xbox Live, you know, for the longest time, they had it on there. So, you know, why would you want to play, like, the downgraded NES arcade version when you could play the actual arcade version? So, yeah, it's just a weird thing that the first one can be as craptacular as it is, but it could still hold up more than about, I don't know, about half of the Nintendo library. I'm not sure how that works. It's a very odd thing. But yeah, it's a ridiculously hard game, though. I don't fault you for not playing it.
Yeah, I remember that once you got above the, you know, out of the sewer, it got even harder because the foot, you know, vans or something like that would always constantly try to run you over and kill you.
Yeah. And then the dam level. Do you remember that? And you had to swim through seaweed or whatever?
I don't think we got that far as kids, no.
Oh, you didn't? You didn't have to swim and you don't remember having to defuse bombs or whatever? That's as far as I got when I was a kid.
I don't remember that, no.
I'm going to drop this music in because as soon as I drop this music in, anybody who's listening to this podcast who played that Nintendo game way back in the day, they're going to be filled with a lot of anxiety because you're trying to swim, you've got this time limit of like 2 minutes or whatever trying to defuse all these bombs, but like there's all this electrical seaweed or something and you're having to swim through it and it's killing you, but there's no way to really swim and not get hit by it. The hit collision is so awful in that game. But a toast to Donatello. Rest in peace, sir. You and your stick will be missed. That was a good moment of silence there. I like what you did.
It was. Thank you.
Hey, we were talking before the show. What's some other fictional character deaths? Maybe not just in comic books, but what's one or two that really like jump out at you and cause you angst and pain when you saw it?
The one that I remember seeing, especially in the theaters, was in T2 when Arnold's Terminator gets lowered down into the lava. I do. I'm not gonna be ashamed in saying that. I got a little misty, got a little teary eyed when he was terminated by John Connor and Sarah. And not cool, but you know, I could see how it had to happen because, you know, all the last remaining chip had to be out. You know, he couldn't just go on living with John as a friend. They needed to kill, you know, stop Cyberdyne in its tracks.
Let's take a listen to that right here, because there's a line in this that really gets me.
There's one more chip. And it must be destroyed also. Here. I cannot self-terminate. You must lower me into the steel.
No.
I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry.
No, it'll be okay. Stay with us. It'll be okay.
I have to go away.
No, don't do it. Please, don't go.
I must go away, John.
No! No, wait. Wait, you don't have to do this.
Sorry.
No, don't do it. Don't go.
It has to end here.
I order you not to go. I order you not to go. I order you not to go.
I know now why you cry. But it's something I can never do.
Yeah.
Arnold doesn't do it, you know, like, that just hurts me that, you know, that he's, I don't know, seeing that pain in that kid's face or whatever. He's begging and pleading with that Terminator not to kill itself. That's, wow, yeah, no, I agree with you on that. That's tough to watch, man.
That is a very tough to watch. The other one I was thinking was when Optimus died in the Transformers, the movie, the original cartoon movie, and when he... when his spark leaves his body, he goes from color to black and white. And there are numerous reports that, you know, multiple children in the theaters were screaming and crying because of that, because Optimus was their favorite. And actually, that set in motion for Hasbro, because they did obviously the Transformers movie. They were doing the G.I. Joe the movie. They were going to kill off Optimus. They were going to kill off Duke in the G.I. Joe movie. But because of the backlash of what happened in the Transformers movie, they didn't kill Duke off. They just put him in. I don't know if I've said this before. Serpentor threw a snake. It was supposed to go right to his heart. He was in a coma for the whole movie, and he gets out of the coma at the end of the movie. But he was supposed to die.
Is there a version where he's dead? Like, is that on DVD anywhere, or is that lost?
No, they never. I don't think they ever did that. But there are rumors. I heard rumors that they may have said something, like there was an alternate audio track of somebody talking and saying he's dead. You know, oh my god, he died, because that was pretty big right there. Duke was the man as well.
Do you agree with Hasbro's decision to keep him alive, or would you have killed him?
I don't know. I understand what they were doing, why they were ushering out the old characters and bringing in the new characters, because basically they had to sell some toys. But I don't know. That's a tough, because the killing of Optimus Prime for the movie kind of backfired, because they brought him back in the end of the cartoon series anyway.
Yeah. Why did he die? How did he die? Like, refresh my memory. Oh, by the way, we probably should have put a spoilers tag at the beginning.
Oh,
of this.
Yeah. A movie from 1986. Nobody knows about this one.
I'm just going to call this episode "We Cry and Spoil Things." I think that'd be a good episode title. But no, how did Optimus Prime die?
So in the beginning of the Transformers, the movie, the cartoon, he and Megatron have a giant fight in Autobot City, and both Optimus Prime and Megatron are left there. Excuse me, that was my chair, not my gas. I wish it was. That was pretty epic. So they battled to a stalemate, and they both were in just horrible, horrible condition. And the Decepticons, they leave. They make a hasty retreat and leave Autobot City, and Optimus Prime is taken to the emergency room for the in wherever it is in Autobot City, and he's hooked up to life support, and he obviously gives away the matrix of leadership, and it falls into Hot Rod's hands, but it's not supposed to go to him, and then he flatlines right there, and he dies, and his head turns to the side, and everybody's crying, and Megatron actually was kicked out of Astrotrain by Starscream. Starscream is assuming new leadership because Megatron is beyond repair. He's going to basically die as well. They kick him and a couple other people out of the Astrotrain to lighten the load. And Megatron and those other people are captured by Unicron and made into Galvatron and Galvatron's army.
Oh, wow. It's been a long time since I've seen that Transformers movie. The only part I remember, though, is like hearing Optimus Prime's like parting words as he's dying or whatever.
Yes.
Like we were watching that as a kid because I didn't see it in the theater or whatever. I was watching it a few years later, and I'm like, wait, what? What? How's... Huh? This doesn't make any sense. He's on all the toys. How is he dying?
Exactly. And it doesn't make it even easier when Spike's. So Spike was the human, and he has a son. I think his name's Daniel. And he, goes tearful tears in his eyes. He says, "Optimus, you can't die." And it's like, oh Jesus! Now, here comes the tears. Oh my God!
I would have been really sad if they had killed Snake Eyes instead of Duke. Oh, you imagine the backlash if they had killed Snake Eyes? That would have been just nuts.
Big time. Even though Snake Eyes wasn't that big in the movie because they had some new characters. But yes, I agree with that. So that's the story of Transformers movie and G.I. Joe the movie.
Yeah, and I think in the G.I. Joe comic books at the time, Snake Eyes was pretty much like the main character or whatever.
Oh, he definitely was.
But not in the cartoons. I don't know. I didn't see the G.I. Joe movie that came out. Was he like the big guy, big character in there, or did they focus more on Duke and Hawk?
Let's see. Duke was technically the main guy in the movie. The new kind of
live action one.
The live action one. Yeah. Yes, Duke was. What's his name? Channing Tatum.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah,
he was the main guy,
and they actually brought him back. He wasn't supposed to be back for the second one, he was only supposed to be in for a couple scenes in the second one, and then they actually brought him back for a little bit more, and then ended up killing him off.
Oh, wow, okay. That's a spoiler for a newer movie.
Spoiler for a second one, yeah, there you go.
Oh, Duke dies in the new G.I. Joe movie, the second one?
Yeah, in the second one, yeah.
Wow, I might want to watch this movie now. So
yeah, you should. It's in about the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's not something that it doesn't build up to it or anything.
No.
It should have, because that's the most interesting thing I've heard about that whole film series.
Well, in that second one, there's only a couple Joes left because Cobra has basically, they're in bed with whoever's, Zartan is masquerading as the U.S. president. And so they make Cobra the defense contract, company.
Of course.
And Cobra attacks G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe is being brandished as a rogue outfit that they do more harm than good. And so The Rock and Snake Eyes and a couple other Joes are the only ones left.
And then the original Joe is there, Bruce Willis or whatever. I think he's just G.I. Joe, isn't he?
I think he's G.I. John McClane.
Oh man, I need to go watch that movie or whatever. Did you see the episode of Community with the G.I. Joe spoof parody or whatever?
Negative. I have never seen any episodes of Community.
Well, they do it like in the same art style as G.I. Joe, and they've got the G.I. Joe characters. And I was going to make the joke, about Cobra not being a very good defense force because they're horrible with their shots or whatever. But in this episode of Community, like right at the very beginning, spoilers. The character that Joel McHale plays actually shoots and kills like one of the Cobra like characters, and both Cobra and G.I. Joe, they're both like just like in shock, like, what did you do? You're not supposed to kill people like that. That's ridiculous. And there's like this whole big like trial thing or whatever he has to go through or whatever, and because he's a lawyer on the show. But I just thought, like, wow, I like that the people who make G.I. Joe actually had enough sense of humor to go along with that and make that joke. Because I don't think I'd want anybody to make that joke about. And I was like, man, we're not that bad of shots. I mean, we can't kill anybody. It's a kid's show. But
they're like just as bad as Stormtroopers.
Yeah, I would recommend, if you never watch another episode of Community, I would watch that one just because it's like, I don't know, it's like a modern adult G.I. Joe cartoon with a decent like production budget behind it. Because the artwork is just so spot on. It looks just like the cartoon, like the bright but faded out colors and everything. It's really good. So that's your homework this week. Go watch that.
That is my homework. All right, I will try.
I've given you a lot of homework assignments. I don't know if you've ever watched any of them. Let's see.
Which ones? Talk to me.
I was going to have you watch that Turtles Forever movie that came out a few years ago that reunited all the Ninja Turtles from different cartoon series. Did you watch that?
Did not find that.
Did you watch an episode of My Little Pony like I asked you to watch?
Negative.
Did you watch any of Doctor Who?
No, still have not.
Oh my gosh, man! I don't know.
Horrible friends.
What do I have to do to get you to watch any of these things?
I have no clue.
I will watch something that you recommend. How about I do that? What do I got to watch? Right.
I just started watching Psych. I've never seen that before until recently, and that's
a fun little show.
Yeah, I like that show.
It's a fun show.
Yeah, and, you've seen some of them, so I don't know. What do I watch? I can't even think off the top of my head. I don't know.
The finale of Psych, when you get to that season, I think it's like season 6 or something like that. It's a rewarding payoff. You're not going to feel cheated at the end of it. It's not the best finale, but it's rewarding. It does a good job with it. So
we're almost finished with the first season, so we've slowly gone through it.
No, that pilot episode of Psych is great. I still have that saved because they gave that away for free on iTunes like years ago, and I downloaded it and I've never deleted it. It's like a little movie or something like that. But
we hit one that was really funny. It was I can't remember what obviously it was so funny I can't even remember what it was about. But yeah, it was really funny, and that was I would say that has been the funniest one of the season thus far.
It's a hilarious one where there's capers and hijinks. That one, I remember that one. That was a good one.
It was good.
With lots of hijinks, yeah. It's also got, what's his name, from Major League.
Corbin Burnson, yes.
Yeah, he's great on there. So I either see him doing that, or sometimes I see him on those late night infomercials, like peddling some like financial service or something like that. But you live in California, you're in the know. Like, do people do that because they've got nothing else to do, or because it's easy side money, or because they truly believe in the product that they're peddling?
No. So that's like the last resort almost.
Yeah. So
when actors, let's say an actor starts with, goes on a TV show, and then they get so big that they start going to movies. Now, either the audience really, really likes them and they start, they stick with movies, or they're bumped back down. So the movies are Major League. The TV is kind of like a high AAA class for baseball. So they're maybe bumped down to TV. But if they're jerks about it, they may be bumped down to some other stuff. Hosting a game show if they're a comedian or something like that. Or, I would say infomercials are probably one of the last chances that an actor can get. For money. Like Shannon Doherty was doing stuff like that. And it's like, okay, you're not really doing anything else, but you're doing infomercials. Whatever. Yeah. Work.
But like Corbin Benson, like he's doing Psych for all these years. Like they're probably paying him like decent money. So for him, like if you've got established work, that you're working regularly, it's a good gig or whatever, then why would you do an infomercial? What's the reason for that then? Is he just need more money?
Well, maybe, but then you got to look at the product. What's the product that he was pushing?
It was a financial service for elderly people, and I guess he's an elderly person too.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's certain ones where I don't know if that's they need the money, or if it's like, well, maybe they really like the product. He's pushing a new fishing poles or something like that. And I was like, I'm a big fan of fishing, so yeah.
The saddest one I saw was Tom Bosley peddling that stuff like a few years ago, like shortly before he died. And he was an old man. He wasn't doing any regular TV work. I think I saw him in a movie with Jennifer Lopez one time, but it was such a small bit part. I was like, oh, Tom Bosley, what are you doing to yourself, man? Like you're better than that, sir. What is this?
Did you ever watch Father Dowling Mysteries?
No, I did not.
Oh,
I should. It's a Catholic priest, yeah.
I know, come on.
What's wrong? I'm a bad... Hey, by the way, all right, this is just a short little rant or whatever. I was glad to see Dayton lose in the college basketball tournament that they're doing right now. That one with the brackets and everything like that everybody loves.
Thanks for spoiling that for me. I actually haven't checked I haven't really watched any games, but I've been kind of periodically checking on ESPN.com to see what the games were today.
Oh.
And I have a soft spot for Dayton. I have no clue why. I think it's probably because of Online Onslaught, the wrestling website that I met all of, Andy and all those guys. The guy who runs it is I think he either went to Dayton or he's a big Dayton fan and he's out in Ohio.
Oh.
So I kind of, whenever they would be in the tournament, I'm like, hey, go Dayton Flyers. All right, cool. So apparently they lost.
They okay. lost, and I was happy about it. And I put on Twitter, I said, I'm glad Dayton is out of the tournament because I thought they got favorable treatment. They got a home game in the first
game. They did.
And then
first game.
They should have lost that first game or whatever on that foul at the end that the refs didn't call. They swallowed their whistle, and like the guy from Dayton like runs right into the other guy shooting the three-pointer, So, but I had like two or three people immediately tweeted me. They're like, that's a Catholic university. Thank you so much for supporting Catholic colleges around the world. It's like, shut up. I don't care about that. There's Catholic kids at Oklahoma. Do I have to not cheer for them because they don't go to a Catholic school? No. You know what? I'm glad Oklahoma beat you, and I don't care what religion you're peddling at your college. I'm glad you're out because I think you made a mockery of this whole college basketball tournament. That's how I felt. So,
well, then what do you think about UCLA? UCLA wasn't really meant to be in the tournament either, yet they're still in the Sweet 16.
UCLA can take a long walk off a short pier for all.
Woo!
I know you back me up on that one. And so.
I will back you up. And I've been very silent about that. That's obviously the arch nemesis of my college as well. But I've been very silent about them, and I kind of haven't – I've seen people on Facebook like, woo, UCLA, go Bruins. And I really want to say UCLA sucks. But yeah, They're still in the tournament. I can't do that until they've lost. But what I like with UCLA, it's kind of almost like it's a weird kind of thing where I want them to continue winning, but I want them to lose. Like if they're going to lose, I want them to lose on a bigger stage. So, fine, let them win those first couple of games, but when you get to Sweet 16, yeah, all right, you're out of here. Or the Grade 8 or something like that.
Well,
yeah.
Your school is better than UCLA. I will go to my grave thinking that.
Well, not in basketball, I'll say that.
All around. It's better character at USC than UCLA.
Not a lot of people think that way, but
you know what? Those people are they're some misinformed is what they are.
That's all I'll say about them.
But no, I've never seen the Father Downing mysteries.
Father Downing mysteries, good stuff with who is Tracy
Lords?
No,
she's not in that one. No, okay.
No, she's not in that.
Earmuffs, kids.
Tracy Nelson was Rick Nelson's daughter, and she was the nun who was Father Dowling's assistant.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
I'll have to watch
good
that.
Actress.
I'll have to go and look at that sometime. I just know him from Happy Days and that Jennifer Lopez movie where he's somebody's fiance or whatever.
He's also in some movie where it was what was it? It was a race to go get money or something like that. Kind of like it's a mad world, but it was different. Now I got to look this up. All right, see what you did to me.
Do you think there's like some huge crazed Tom Bosley fan listening to this podcast right now just like swearing at us? For not recognizing their idol.
How did you not understand that? That was the greatest movie.
Because there's somebody out there who, who to them he is like the greatest thing ever. I mean, I've got no problem with the man. I make it sound like
Tom Bosley. I like Tom Bosley.
Tom Bosley's great.
Did you ever see that there was a Family Guy episode where Stewie and Brian were on a train and Stewie looks up and goes, "Oh my God, is it Tom Bosley?" And Brian's like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Hold on, I'm going to say his name, and then you're going to look, and I'm not going to look away." He goes, "Tom Bosley, Tom Bosley." He goes, "Did he look?" "No, he didn't. He didn't look." It was just so weird and random.
Pretty good impression of Stewie that you've got there, by the way.
I don't do that one often, but
it's probably your best one, I think. But
thank you. Let's see, Tom Bosley. Where
he was in Geppetto's Secret. Ooh. Geppetto has a secret. That sounds dirty. Oh, no.
It certainly does.
Geppetto's Secret. What is that? That can't be about Pinocchio, is it? Oh, it's a prequel to the fairy tale classic Pinocchio. So
awesome.
That's a prequel that nobody wanted there. Sorry, Tom. Rest in peace.
Okay, where is this? Let's see. trying to find this darn movie, and it was probably in the 80s or the 90s. I will say that.
He was in Walker, Texas Ranger.
Everyone was.
He, along with, what's his name? That guy who tells you not to get diabetes.
Oh, with Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, was it Wilford Brimley in Walker, Texas Ranger? Yeah,
that's what. No, I don't think it was. I think you're thinking of a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. That's right. But he was also, he guest starred in Murder, She Wrote, which anytime Tom Bosley was on a Murder, She Wrote episode, that was a great time.
I'm thinking of, yes, that was. I'm thinking of Noble Willingham. He was the old dude with the mustache and the cowboy hat on Walker, Texas Ranger. So he's dead too. My childhood's dying. Donatello's dead. Noble Willingham's dead. Tom Bosley's dead.
Terminator 2 is dead.
Yeah, Terminator, he's dead. And apparently somebody from the G.I. Joe movie died. I can't say it because somebody might have skipped ahead to avoid the spoilers. But, man, just everybody's dying, man. It's just a sad, sad.
It's a sad world.
Great. Clarence Gilliard is still alive, though. So,
Tom Bosley, it's called Million Dollar Mystery from 1987. It's a scavenger hunt film.
What did he do in that movie? Was he the bad guy, or was he the heel or the face?
How awesome is this? It was an American film released with a promotional tie-in for Gladlock brand bags.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's Tom Bosley had the starring role as Sidney Preston, a disgruntled White House aide who took off with $4 million that belonged to the government, of course. While on the run, he stops at a roadside diner, has their world-famous chili, he suffers a fatal heart attack, more death, and, before dying, reveals to onlookers the location of the first $1 million. The occupants of the diner head out on a mad dash to find the loot. When they find the money, they lose it in a mishap. They follow clues to the next $1 million and lose it as well. After finding and losing the third $1 million, the movie ends. During the closing credits, one of the characters informs the audience that there is $1 million out there in the USA, and if they follow clues specifically marked Gladlock bags, they have a chance to win $1 million. Are they still out? Can we still go win this $1 million?
I don't know. That sounds fantastic. We should do that. I mean, I love retro things. Might as well get in a retro contest. I pulled up this movie on IMDb, Million Dollar Mystery, and it says contribute to this page, and you can click a button that says edit page. And I'm just wondering, there's got to be the one person out there who's just going through there, and they see that button, they're like, oh my God, I remember that movie. I've got to contribute to this. I've got to make this page full. Ah, jeez Louise, man.
Any movie, and it's got Eddie Deason. And Eddie Deason, if you don't know Eddie Deason, just click on his face, and he's just a crazy person. He's a pretty funny dude. And just you know Eddie Deason.
Dude, he looks like a crazy dude, man. He was that kid in Grease. He was the...
Yeah.
I can't think of his name now.
He was in Grease and Grease 2. What about that? And War Games.
He was in Midnight, War Games?
Midnight Madness. What's this?
What did he do in War Games?
I think he was a... Before I look at it, I think he was one of the designers, the engineers for the... Was it the games? Let's see. Eddie Deason plays Malvin, of course.
Malvin, okay. Oh, and he was Eugene in Grease.
Yes, so, and he's got a high-pitched voice.
Yeah. Did you like Grease, by the way? I bet somebody at work the other day who'd never seen Grease.
What? Grease is the word, my friend.
It is. It's great. I've got the movie and the Broadway soundtrack both on vinyl because I love Broadway stuff.
I've never seen Grease 2, but I have been told to stay away from Grease 2.
Well, it does have in her prime Michelle Pfeiffer in it.
Yeah,
but I mean, you could just Google search pictures of her from the movie, and you're all set right there. But
I am currently doing that. Yes,
that's the only reason to watch that movie, because in that movie, the T-Birds are a bunch of wimps.
You know? Oh man, the T-Birds are the best.
Yeah, but in the movie, they're pushovers or whatever. They're not awesome dudes or anything like that. But yeah, Grease 2, it's always on TV. And I'm kind of wondering, why would you spend the money to put Grease 2 on TV? Why not just put the first Grease on TV?
Exactly. Grease is the word. And I'm looking at the box office. Budget, $6 million. Granted, from 1978.
Ooh.
box office, $394,955,000.
You're not talking about Grease 2. You're talking about the first.
No, no, no. Grease 2 did barely made a profit. Grease 2's budget was $11 million, and its box office was $15 million.
You think if Grease 2 had Olivia Newton-John and John Stamos? Not John Stamos.
John Stamos, yes.
If it had John Stamos in it, that would have been cool. No, John Travolta. If it had that, do you think that movie would have been more successful, or do you think it still would have been a crap sequel?
Probably. I think it probably would have been good. But, you know, then again, they may have caught lightning in a bottle with Grease 1. Grease 1. Grease 2, Electric Boogaloo.
You know that it's just like a matter of like 5, 6, 7 years before they remake Grease with Justin Bieber, right? That's going to happen. And then they're going to remake Back to the Future with that little boy that Will Smith sired a long time ago.
Jaden
Smith. I don't want to say it. I'm just letting you know they remake everything. They remade Footloose, for crying out loud. So, of course, they're going to remake Back to the Future.
You know, okay, my idea with remakes, I think that if it's a cult classic and it's still like in – If it was only made a couple of years ago and or it's a cult classic and it's made a ton of money, you probably shouldn't remake it. But no. There's tons of movies that you can remake and make better. Yeah. And you know, so I don't understand that. Like I understand. Okay, well, they weren't good the first time, so why would they be good the second time? But then again, you can take what's not good from the first time for a movie and make it much better.
We're going to play just a little game that I just thought up. I'm going to give you a movie, and you tell me if it could. I think all these would qualify as ones that would fit your agenda that could be remade. You just give me in like 2 or 3 sentences like who you would cast for like the main part and if you would do anything different or what style of remake. So, all right, my first one I'm going to give you, No Holds Barred. The Hulk Hogan classic from the late 80s.
Why remake it? I don't know.
That's probably a good
question. Yeah, why remake that exactly? I don't know. I don't think they should ever remake that.
You don't think they could put like John Cena in that role?
They probably could, and it would be just as bad.
Yeah. Okay, I found a website that has, they say it's 10 movies that need to be remade, so that'll make this game a little easier. Spawn from 1997. I don't think that'd really count as a remake because it's based off of an existing property. But if you're going to do a Spawn movie now, how would you do it?
Oh, I actually think that could be a lot better. I went and saw that movie in the theaters, and there were such high hopes for it because Spawn was awesome, and it was just not good. I think it was because the technology in the comic books was nowhere near being able to be done on the big screen. Whereas when HBO did a Spawn cartoon a couple years later, it was really, really good.
I remember it was really cool.
It was awesome. I think they could do a Spawn movie, and they could probably make it a lot kind of just grimier and dirtier. And, you know, special effects would have obviously caught up and far exceeded what happened in, you know, I think that was in 97 when that came out.
Yeah. Yeah, 97, you're exactly right. Okay, how would you remake the movie Dune?
Shit. cut like 3 hours off of it or something like that? Isn't it like a 4-hour film? Actually, I've never seen the entire movie of Dune. I tried to watch it and I fell asleep.
I tried to read the book and I couldn't get through it.
I don't know how to read, so that's...
Apparently there's a decent Sega CD game of Dune that kind of follows the movie a little bit. It's one of those, as my friend Tom Hall on One More Castle said, you point and click your way to hell. In one of those point and click adventure games.
Ah, yes.
How would you make, I'll give you 2 or 3 more here. It's very recent, but The Green Lantern. How would you redo The Green Lantern movie?
Let's see. I'd take away all the stuff that's on Earth and make him be out in space on another planet. And yeah, that's pretty much, I guess you could do it like that. And maybe not Ryan Reynolds, even though I'm a big Ryan Reynolds fan and I'm a big Ryan Reynolds apologist. I just don't think that, you know, I don't know. He could have been a good Hal Jordan, but I don't know what really went wrong there. I think they just had a lot of really good ideas and then it just they were confined. He's a guy who works in space, and they kept him on Earth.
Yeah. So like, and Guardians of the Galaxy, just the Green Lantern.
Yeah, do something like that. Go to Oa. Go to, you know, have something, you know, he's got a crisis that he has to take care of in his sector, but on another planet. Yeah.
You know, I think I think the way you remake that movie, you keep everything the same, but you make Nathan Fillion Green Lantern instead of Hal Jordan, or instead of Ryan Reynolds.
I would like that. That'd be pretty good.
He's the voice of the Green Lantern. When I watch Castle with my wife, I only think of him as Green Lantern. It's hard to see him as anything else. I think Ryan Reynolds, by the way, I think if they let him have a little bit of freedom to be funny, like I know he can, I think he's going to be great in that Deadpool movie.
I do too. I mean, hey, go watch Van Wilder. Van Wilder was basically Deadpool without being a superhero. He's just a crazy, really funny, irreverent, and off the wall kind of person.
Yeah, and you know, people are freaking out, thinking that like, oh, Deadpool's gonna suck. It's gonna be PG-13. Batman the Animated Series was Y-7, and that is better than just about any comic book movie that's ever been made. So you know what? If Batman can be Y-7 and be great, PG-13 Deadpool can be great too.
I read something. You can get away with a lot of stuff with PG-13, and R, you don't necessarily have to do R. It's really weird where a lot of action films recently are PG-13, and yet comedies have gone the way of R.
Yeah.
So you know, you can get away with a lot of stuff. You can get away with some implied violence or implied things, and be really smart with dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's just like, oh crap, you know, it's tongue in cheek stuff, and you know, things like that. You don't have to be dropping F bombs and, you know, blowing everyone's head away. Because originally Deadpool wasn't like that. You know, in the early kind of when he was a kind of pseudo hero, he was just a kind of a smart mouth and had a lot of pop culture references in his comics.
Yeah, no, and you know, everybody loved that Avengers movie. That was PG-13. That worked. My favorite comic book movies ever, the Dark Knight trilogy, that's PG-13, and that worked. So
they pushed the boundaries. Yep.
Everybody, calm down. Okay. All right. How would you make two more for you? How would you redo Gremlins?
Ooh, I think that could be redone. That'd be actually kind of cool to redo. I think, like I said, it has to be a certain amount of space in between the original movie. And when did that come out? Like early 80s?
84 is what comes to mind.
You know, hey, that's a perfect amount of time, because this is for a new generation. Kind of like, you know, I might be sacrilegious in saying the Goonies could be remade. I think that could be really good. They're going to do a Goonies 2, I think. But you know, Gremlins, I think they could do it, and it could be, you know, it could be pretty good, and maybe even do just CGI stuff instead of puppets like they did.
Yeah, who would it'd definitely be CGI. I think it would be great if they could stick with the puppets and make those look really good. Mm-hmm. But who would you cast as I can't think of his name. Zach Galligan. Who would you cast for him? Billy Peltzer. You need like a kid who's like in high school or whatever, or it looks like he's in high school.
Yeah, or could you change up the whole movie and do it kind of like maybe an adult or something? When you said Zach, the first thing that popped in my head was Zach Galifianakis.
I was going to say that, but I didn't know how you would react. But yes, Zach Galifianakis with Gizmo would be great.
I like him, and I think that could be pretty funny. And he is a really good actor when it's stuff like that. I think he's got a really good imagination.
Yeah.
So he could portray that as a pretty good character.
We talked about it earlier, but Ryan Reynolds, put Ryan Reynolds in a Gremlins remake. That could be a lot of fun.
That could. Hey. Yeah.
And your final movie, I'm going to go classic on you. Casablanca. Do you remake Casablanca?
I'm surprised nobody's tried to do that recently.
I am. When was it?
From the 40s?
Yeah, in our late 30s, early 40s. Yeah. It would be.
Oh, man.
I don't know. If you. Oh, go ahead.
Hard-boiled detectives are, if I'm remembering correctly, because it's been a while since I've seen that. It's been a while since I've taken. I actually took a detective class with literature and movies in college. I am correct in saying that he's a hard-boiled detective. Right?
Oh, good, good. I'm glad you're accurate on this show. That's what
okay,
we're striving
good.
For.
That's what we do. That's what we do. I was asking. You confirm. I like it. Hard-boiled detective movies are somewhat tough because it's obviously it's very 30s and 40s and stuff like that. You know, people don't talk like that anymore. It would have to be set back then.
Yeah.
But you know, you probably could be able to do it. I wouldn't see any problem why you wouldn't be able to do it. Maybe a Clive Owen. I don't know.
Clive Owen in Casablanca.
Head.
That would be cool.
Yeah, first name popped in my head.
Who do you get for Ingrid Bergman's part?
Not
Megan Fox. Please don't say that.
No. Not Megan Fox, and not what's her name, Lucy the Black Widow. Don't like her. I don't know.
Lucy
Liu? Not Lucy Liu. No, the movie Lucy. I actually don't know. I can't think of any female off the top of my head. I don't know. You stumped me.
I don't know who I would get for that. I don't know. There's probably some classy babe out there that could probably pull that off. But
yeah, like an Amy Adams or something like that. You know,
Amy Adams would be great for that
she's
one.
She's got a timeless look, and she can look not only current and you know present day, but she can you know she's really good at adapting into another time period. Was what she did with American Hustle.
Do you think that she would? You think she would mesh with Clive Owen? He seems might be a little too old for her.
He might be a little too old for her. So if we get her, you got to get somebody a little younger. You don't know.
I'm trying to think who. Who was that dude in that movie? That you didn't like, but I did. It was nothing really narrow it down. It was that one where the White House was attacked by terrorists.
Oh,
not the one with Jamie Foxx, but the one with Morgan Freeman.
Oh,
I can't think of
let's
that
see
guy's name.
White House movie. Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah, who's the guy in that one?
Gerard Butler.
Yeah, why don't you get Gerard Butler and Amy Adams? That would be different for him, but he could play hard-boiled detective very easily.
Maybe, though, the other guy who's in Olympus Has Fallen, Aaron Eckhart, who was Harvey Dent,
yes,
be a really good hard-boiled detective, too.
Let's put him in that one. Aaron Eckhart and Amy Adams in that movie together. I think that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the way, it just dawned on me. I didn't tell you the movie that that jerked my heartstrings. The one that ripped my heart out. There's only two movies that have ever made me cry. One was Passion of the Christ for obvious reasons. It had a lot to do with my faith. But the other one, this is a spoiler if you don't want to hear anything on this. We're probably about to wrap up the show, so you could probably just stop listening for now. but the recent movie, it came out back in November, Disney animated movie Big Hero 6. I actually had tears in my eyes twice during that silly little movie. It was so good. But one, very toward the beginning when, and I just had this pulled up. I want to give you the actual names of the people so you know what the heck I'm talking about. But when Hero, the main character, his brother dies at the very beginning of the movie, Tanishi. Mm-hmm. He gets exploded, and I thought they really did a good job showing that really good brother relationship that the two had. And they put enough emotional depth into those characters to make that death actually mean something instead of something just to advance the plot when that happened. And then toward the end, I totally did not see it happening. There are a lot of surprises in that movie, which is why I really don't want to spoil it for anybody because it'll completely ruin the movie. But when the robot Baymax, toward the end of the movie, mm-hmm. Baymax gets trapped in like this, you know, like other dimension or something like that. And Hero has to leave him behind. And it's really depressing. Like I was like, am I crying at a kid's movie? Like what is wrong with me here?
Well, Pixar is known to do that. I've been known to cry at Toy Story 1, 2, and 3, possibly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, but Big Hero 6 wasn't even Pixar, though. It's just
Disney
doing its thing.
Yeah.
But it looked like a Pixar movie, so whatever. Yeah. I think they're almost like one in the same nowadays. But
you know, toward the end of the movie, I actually thought the brother may have been still alive and he was inside Baymax, but that did not happen.
No, but I liked it. I like that Hero got the chip from Baymax. Baymax had a little chip along, so he's able
gave him the chip.
Bring him back, but still, like, oh, that hurt. That movie was really good. A lot of good surprises,
like the
villain or whatever. Did you expect the villain to be Professor Callahan?
I did not expect him to be that. No,
it's really cool when a movie just completely takes you by surprise. And my wife still hasn't seen it yet. And hi, honey. I hope you're not listening to this part.
Hi.
But
you ruin it, spoiling.
But I know we're gonna watch it together. Like when she finally gets down here, we'll have like a whole week together, just her and I. I'll get it on Blu-ray or whatever and watch it. But I'm scared that she's gonna like get accidentally spoiled on it. You know, like. Somehow between now and then and ruin the movie. So I'm like, should I get her to watch it before she gets here or whatever? Or do I just hold out hope that she can go another month and a half without finding out? What do you think, sir? What are your thoughts?
Tell her to just plug her. You know, I don't know. You can do a good job of evading spoilers if you just don't go looking for them. I found that out.
Okay.
And specifically, you know, I'm a couple episodes behind The Walking Dead and things like that. And I just, you know, I don't go reading tweets or you know, checking news things about it. I just wait until I can watch it at my own leisure. And, you know, so maybe, you know, tell her that. Just, you know, don't go looking for it.
Your own leisure. That sounds dirty, my own leisure, man.
It is. And so here's another dirty thing. So I'm going, whoa, hey now. I'm going to throw a curveball at you. I'm going to throw you a movie. Now, do you think this could be redone? This is from 1983, Risky Business.
Yes. Tom Cruise. That could be done. Get Channing Tatum to dance around in his underwear and all the women would love it.
Well, this is the movie that I think that if they cast it correctly, with especially the Tom Cruise part, that's a star building part for a young male. Yeah.
A young man. But yeah, so that could build somebody up. Yeah, I think a lot of those movies, I think if it's not a movie from like a big franchise or like you said, a cult classic, let's remake it. Everybody says like, oh, there's no, you know, originality in Hollywood. It's like, just, you know, if you don't like Hollywood's lack of originality, then, you know, don't watch the movies then if it offends you that much, you know. But I don't know. It just annoys me when people say that.
I hear you. No, well, you know what? I think some movies are kind of very untouchable to be remade. And,
Star Wars will never be remade.
Godfather. I hope they never touch that. But, you know, they are redoing. Apparently, they're going to redo Scarface.
Really?
Which itself was a remake from a 30s or 40s. You know. But, they're apparently going to remake Scarface.
What are they going to do? I mean, I know what they're going to do. They're going to remake it. But do you have any other information on this?
I just read something about it. Very, very, you know, they said who the writer would be and stuff like that. And, you know, it's why. You know, when a movie is close to perfection, why redo it? You don't have to redo it. You know, how about this? Why don't you just re-release it in the movie theaters? Because people will gladly see what they love.
Yeah.
You know, if they, you know, they already own it. You know, just remake stuff that either didn't do well or it's been, you know, many years, you know, kind of 30 something years or something. And, you know, or just kind of maybe do certain twists on movies. There's certain movies that do not ever need to be remade.
Yeah, Back to the Future and Star Wars are the two that comes to mind. And
Who
Framed Roger Rabbit? There's no reason to remake that one. That's my favorite movie from the 80s, hands down. And I watched it again the other day. It still holds up really, really well. It's on Netflix. I don't know how you do that.
I hope they never redo Big Trouble Little China. That's one of my all-time favorites. I don't think they will because it's so kind of cult and it didn't make that much money to begin with, but it's you know, it's almost over 30 years old and it's still pretty, everybody still loves it. So,
hey, do you think, I haven't heard anybody say one way or the other, but, if you're Universal Studios, don't you release Back to the Future 2 to theaters for a week or two in October 2015? Like that's Back to the Future month right there. It's when he goes back into the future. This is October 26th, 2015.
You know, wouldn't that be perfect? Wouldn't that be smart? But once again, studios aren't really known for being smart and wanting to make money. You know, you can do that. Just, hey, we got a special edition. We're going to play it in the theaters in select few. And, maybe they'll do that because they've done that before. But, I don't.
I mean, I would drive out, you know, a few hours if it meant seeing that movie in the theaters. Like, because that would just be a lot of fun to see,
future. With Yeah, with fans that like it too, you know.
Yeah, I actually, for the first time ever, I actually did like an official bet on sports. I put $20 down on the Cubs to win the World Series this year. Because I thought, man, if they win the World Series for the rest of my life, I'm going to be like, I should have put some money on the Cubbies at the beginning of the season. The movie told me to do that. I watched that movie countless times, and every time I watched it, it said, you know, the Cubs are going to win the World Series over against Miami. Yeah, so they won't beat Miami in the World Series. But the guy said they were 100-1 odds to win the World Series in 2015. And that's the same odds that the Minnesota Twins have right now. So Look at how crappy the Minnesota Twins are. That's how crappy the Cubs were in that movie, and they ended up winning the World Series. That's just amazing that a team that bad could win it.
And I'll throw you another curveball, that the Jaws movie that came out when the Cubs won that, you know, the 3D Jaws, looks an awful lot like the left shark from Katy Perry.
I thought you were going to say that. I think I retweeted you saying that or whatever. Yeah.
I may have said that, yes.
I think you did. I got it from you, or I tagged you in it or something like that. Speaking of Twitter, where can people find you on Twitter?
Yes, at Beer Baron for Life. That is the number 4, LIFE. I tweet random weird stuff. And let's see. Oh, at the TLD Podcast. That's one of my recent podcasts. I just put out an episode right now. It's when my co-host and I, we review one retro wrestling pay-per-view every episode. This one is WrestleMania 6, The Ultimate Challenge. That's the Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, belt for belt. Intercontinental versus the heavyweight title, winner takes all.
That made a lot of kids cry.
Certainly did.
When Hogan lost, Edge cried when he was a kid. I think he said that in a promo or something. And my college roommate, Neil, he said when Hogan lost, his best friend like legit cried tears of childlike joy or pain or whatever you want to call it, whatever kids cry.
Yes. Hulk, everyone thought Hulkamania was done, but it would still live on for many more years. Mm.
Wow, I'm glad that WWE's not repeating that, you know, taking a unproven guy who's just big and strong and can't really speak very well and giving him the belt at WrestleMania. I'm glad that they're not going to do that again.
But
fortunately, that's somebody, though, a friend of ours told me that maybe the plan is if they Brock Lesnar could stick with the WWE instead of going to UFC, maybe Brock Lesnar retains because at least Triple H sees the value in Lesnar being a champion and knows that Roman Reigns might not be ready for it after all.
Well, there are some talks that Brock Lesnar may be re-signing with the WWE because they think that his concussion history is going to be a problem with in UFC. So with a light schedule with the WWE, the one he's doing right now, it's not as bad as if he goes, you know, and gets legit punched in the face.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to be one of those people like, you know, if I can't get my way, I'm going to whine and throw a fit. But like, if Reigns gets crowned as the champion at WrestleMania and they go with that, I don't want to devote, you know, more time to that product because I feel like that product is not for me anymore. Like, I feel like I'm not a, you know, I feel like they don't want me as a fan, like, if they do that, because it's such a boneheaded choice to go with Roman Reigns right now. Maybe next year go with Roman Reigns. Maybe he's ready for the belt next year. Or heck, even at SummerSlam or Backlash. I don't know. They don't have Backlash anymore. But if they did,
Odd. It is odd because as a wrestling fan for many, many years, I can tell, even though Roman Reigns has been, you know, it's not like this is his first year in the big leagues. He was with the Shield obviously for a couple of years. But he was the least featured of the two guys. The other two guys, Ambrose and Rollins, were indie darlings and guys who'd been on, you know, the indies for a long time, and so they knew how to do matches and everything like that. And it just feels like, you know, for me, I have said that if Reigns was in a feud with Rusev for the U.S. title, I think that could definitely build that would elevate both the guys, and Reigns, you know, maybe defeating Rusev for the U.S. title at WrestleMania would be awesome. People would go crazy for that, you know, and that would build them up. And that, you know, Reigns could conceivably be gunning for the heavyweight title, maybe by SummerSlam, and definitely by next year. So, they're just speeding it up. I really think that Daniel Bryan should be in the match against Brock Lesnar because that's what the crowd wants. Yeah. And that's what they're paying. They want to see him. They don't want to see him with an Intercontinental title. Yeah, it's great that he's in there elevating it, but I think he's way above the IC title.
Yeah, I do too. Or, heck, if it was Ambrose going up against Lesnar, I would go crazy for that match. That would be a lot of fun as well, Like, it wouldn't be as good as Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar. I mean, that's the match everybody wants to see. It's just like, I don't know. I was trying to think, what if other shows did the same thing that WWE did? Like, what if, what if Transformers never put Optimus Prime in, a top role? What if Optimus Prime is just a supporting character? Or what if, Daryl on The Walking Dead? What if you just, hardly ever saw him on the show? It's like, it feels like WWE's the only people who do this. And it's
That's
just
true.
Ridiculous. And,
well, a little known fact also that Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad, his character was originally supposed to be dead by the end of the first season. Yeah. But he was, people loved him that they extended his character.
Are you talking about which one? I don't follow. I know the
Jesse,
characters.
Jesse is he's the second guy, the young guy.
Aaron Paul.
He's Walter.
Whatever?
Yeah, Aaron Paul. He's Walter White's buddy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The one who says, yeah, bitch, or whatever.
Yeah, science. Yeah.
Sorry. I apologize for my dirty tongue, but I was merely quoting somebody, everybody.
Yes, you were.
So. But, you know what? I have not watched Raw, even though I've had the capability to watch Raw now that I have cable at the little apartment that I'm renting right now. I haven't watched it, and I haven't missed it. I found, so many other things to occupy my time. So, it's if you don't want me as a fan, I'm not really going to sit here and mourn the fact that I can't watch wrestling because they're not doing what I want to do. If they're not doing what I want to do, then I'll support somebody else with my time.
Well, I felt the same way a couple of years ago when a lot of my favorite guys were getting they were either retiring or dying, and and my favorites weren't being replaced by current guys.
Yeah.
So it was tough. And, I do have a couple guys that I like because I saw them in the independents and, I really dig them, but they're not getting their their just desserts. And it's tough because I'm not a John Cena fan and I never was. And it's a little, it's ridiculous. He's this generation's Hogan and I've never was a Hogan fan either.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What are you going to do? What I'm going to do? I'll find something else. I've been playing so many video games lately, that I don't miss, the rest of
the game as
much. Yeah. I finished Borderlands 2. That was a lot of fun. It's very, very violent, but it's still a heck of a lot of fun. I would recommend you playing that sometime if you ever get a chance. So, I'm at 16-Bit Catholic on Twitter. You can follow me there. I write at onemorecastle.com. I write about arcade games. I wrote about, what did I write about most recently? I don't even remember what I wrote about. Oh,
I don't know. You want to write about Crossfire?
I should write about Crossfire. I know. I wrote about the X-Men Children of the Atom arcade game.
Nice.
Game. And also a little bit about the other fighting games from Capcom, the Marvel versus Capcom and the X-Men versus Street Fighter. But the first one, it made me want to get a Saturn so I could play it at home. It's how good a game it was. I actually wanted a Sega Saturn for 6 months or whatever. But you played X-Men Children of the Atom. You know the greatness I speak of.
I do. I do remember that in the arcade as well.
It was so cool. It was the cool Street Fighter fighting game, but with X-Men, and you could be Wolverine mm-hmm. and Gambit. And I heard somebody say they didn't like Gambit, and it legitimately depressed me.
Boo.
And yet they said, what use is Gambit? And I wanted to punch them in the face. So, Eric Hunter, you've been warned, sir. Do not say ill things about Gambit. So, harass him at Eric Hunter on Twitter if you get a chance for saying such awful things. But, anyways, but yes, you can find me there. You can listen to the show more. And I'm back in the groove. I've got a job that I decently enjoy now, so I feel like being more creative in my fair time. So
nice.
You and I, sir, we'll
do it. I'm down for it.
Make more shows. So, but for James Ryan, I am Dustin Faber. Everybody, have a great week.
Right on.